Actually, I've kind of been a writer all along. I've written poetry for years and years and years and years and years, but actually got down to the study of it with Andrea Hollander Beauty, who's a very well-known woman poet who is a writer in residence at Lyon College. And
has been here.
Has been here. Uh-huh. She's terrific. She's great. My wife Nancy and I both studied with her and remain very good friends with her. And she's been extremely encouraging to me over the years and to Nancy as well. So we both write, and she critiques and says nice things to us from time to time. But
the writing that I am aware that you have done is intended for younger audiences.
Pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you about the poetry.
Sure.
Because I Dragon Rider. Now, it doesn't surprise me, knowing you some years ago, that a poem about riding a dragon would be something that would come from you.
No, it's not that surprising. Yeah, I've got some background in fantasy and medieval things. So, yeah, it's not that big of a surprise. But I don't know. I don't sit down intentionally to write those kind of things. I'll get something pop into my head and then just riff off of it, the same way I write songs and always have. So, this one, Dragon Rider, is pretty new and, basically was just walking to work one day and it popped into my head. And I got to the office and sat down and jotted a few things down and then went back over the next couple of weeks and expanded on it. So,
can we hear Dragon Rider?
Absolutely. Be very glad to read that for you. Dragon Rider. You doubtless can't imagine what it's like to ride a dragon, but I will illustrate if you'll abide. First, you make a dragon saddle, then set forth the best in battle, a serpent worth his salt for you to ride. Then you have to find one, if you ever hope to bind one. They rarely ever stand and wait around. You'll wander to and fro, searching high and searching low, before the fabled beast is finally found. It cannot be too small, that just wouldn't do at all. It has to be ferocious for to count. You'll need to slip a bridle round his head while he is idle. That you have to do before you mount. Most of them breathe fire. You don't want to raise their ire. So try to act quite casual and cool as you sidle up beside one with your sure intent to ride one. And yes, they're rather tall, so take a stool. Their scales are smooth but leathery. Their wings are actually feathery, like a bird's. Their claws are long and sharp. As you get much closer, you'll see beneath the nose are whiskers like you'd find on common carp. So throw your saddle up there, but do it with the most care. Cinch the girth, but not too overtight. Set your feet into the stirrups. Give a kick, some clicks and chirrups. Pull the reins to steer from left to right. He'll leap up off the ground, flap his wings, and circle round. You'll view the world from high above the clouds. Feel the wind rush past your face as he sets a dizzy pace, swooping down to scatter startled crowds. At first, you may feel sickly, but that should pass quite quickly. Your confidence will bolster by the yard, until you realize, as you dance across the skies, dragon riding's easy, landing's hard.
Have you read that for audiences?
Just last week, as a matter of fact, I read to a preschool group over in Batesville. A friend of ours is the director of the Ozark Literacy Project, and she invited me to come over for their family reading night, and I read a lot of these. The illustrated one that we just released last year up on the wall in a PowerPoint presentation and read it aloud for them and let them look at the pictures. So that was nice.
What is it about – I mean, now, Dragon Rider, that – you got me to laugh, and I liked it
yeah,
too.
Yeah, good.
But what is it about writing for very – or very young audiences when it comes to reading? What is it that you like about that?
I enjoyed reading when I was a little kid. I learned how to read before I went to school because my uncle down in Camden, South Arkansas, had this army footlocker filled with old comic books from the 1950s and 60s, and I was reading Batman and Superman and World's Finest and Legion of Superheroes and all this stuff and figuring out the words as I was looking at the pictures. And by the time I got to first grade, one fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish, you know, I already knew what invulnerable and medieval were. I didn't care about that stuff. So I've been a reader since I was a little kid and just have always liked it. And so when I have an opportunity to write something that I think will appeal to a child, then I go for it. I have one in here someplace in this pile of stuff I brought called The Most Curious Kitten in All of Great Britain. And that was really the first one of those that I ever wrote that I got it in my head was specifically for a little kid. And my collaborator, Jody Hughes, is going to start to work here pretty soon on a picture book that's in black and white and with real Victorian sort of illustrations. It won't be as comedic as we did with An Alligator in Your Yard. But, as soon as that one popped out, and it was another one of those things, I woke up in the morning and, you know, it just kind of started to come into my head, and I wrote it down over the course of the day and then refined it as I went along. So,
what happens in An Alligator in Your Yard?
Well, nothing really happens. He just is there. Would you like me to read this
I
one
would,
to you, too? This
yes.
is really short, but it's only about a 12-page book, actually. But it's just kind of like how you should be careful. And I think, it applies to more than just an alligator in your yard. It's kind of a way to teach kids about, you know, be careful around strangers. And just because they look nice doesn't necessarily mean that they are. So An Alligator in Your Yard. I'd recommend you be on guard if there's an alligator in your yard. He'll smile and tell you he's all right, but teeth that smile can also bite. He may say he's safe and sound and lots of fun to be around. He'll say that he's right glad to meet you, but get too close and he might eat you. He could suggest you come outside, hop on his back, and take a ride. But I'll remind you if I must, a gator's not someone to trust. There's no need to get upset that you can't keep him as a pet. Though he may seem quite tame and mild, you must remember that he's wild.
Yeah. He's on a motorcycle there.
Leather jacket and a bandana. So be smart and heed my warning when you wake on some fine morning. Don't go out. Think long and hard if an alligator's in your yard.
You've also written a young adult novel.
Yes, I did. The novel is called The Silver Pipes of Tir Nan Og, and Tir Nan Og is fairy. It's the Celtic land of fairy.
And of everlasting love.
Yep.
Yeah.
And everlasting life. Yeah, right. Absolutely. So the story is kind of complex, and obviously we can't go into the whole thing, but it's basically kind of a combination of things. It starts out very realistically with this 14-year-old kid named Gareth McAllister, who's having some trouble at school with a bully, and he's got a crush on a girl but doesn't really know how to talk to her. And his grandmother, his great-grandmother actually, dies, and she lives in Scotland. And it just so happens that this kid is a bagpiper, something I know a little bit about. So I had him go to Scotland to play at her funeral. And while he's there, he gets taken into Faerie, and he has this series of adventures while in Faerie that help him then to go back to the real world and deal with all the difficulties that he was having there at school. And resolved a couple of other issues en route. So, and I like it. I think it's a good story. I thought about it for a couple of years and then sat down and wrote it all out in a period of about a week and then edited it for 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and it finally, I finished it a couple of years ago, and there's a guy who's from Batesville. He lives in Springdale now, but his name is Rick Baber, and he started a small publishing company called Tiger Eye. And he publishes his own material, but he also started to provide an opportunity for other people to publish. And I heard about him and contacted him and sent him the book. And he helped me with some editing, and my wife also helped. And I have a friend who's a writer who lives in Virginia, Teresa Burns Murphy, and she also did some editing, as did Andre Beauty, and looked it over and said, hey, you know, fix this. And so, you know, when you have people the quality of Nancy and Teresa and Andre all looking at it, it's easy to fix. And then I sent it to Rick, and he helped me get it put out there. So now it's available, you know, through Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all those kind of web type of things. But it's print on demand, so it's not like a sort of a vanity press type of thing where I have to pay to get 5,000 copies and then I try to sell them. It's, you know, if somebody hears about it and comes out and wants the book, it's available.
What's harder, playing a difficult piping tune
mm-hmm.
or knowing when you're finally done editing a book?
Well, I would have to go with knowing when you're finally done, because I keep going back and find stuff to fix. I mean, with a pipe tune, you play it, and no matter how badly you butchered it, it's over and done with, and you can't take it back. So, but it is harder, I think, because you're committing to paper, and you know, kind of in a more permanent sense. I mean, I can go play someplace and knock off a pipe tune and know that I made a couple of mistakes, but you as the listener might not have noticed, you know, that I missed a note or held a note too long or whatever it was that I did. And so that's a little less engraved in stone, and, you know, it'll go away and there's nothing I could do to fix it anyway. But this, I have to go back and look again.
Congratulations on Alligator in Your Yard and the novel.
Much. Thank you.
And let us know when the next one comes out.
I will do that. I'm thinking probably sometime next year because I've only got it half written down. I have the whole story in my head, but I have to crank out the rest of it, and I need about a week off to do that. So.
Thank you, Ken.
All right. Thank you, Kyle. Great to be here.